12 and verses 3 to 8 is what we look at this morning, and discovering and using your spiritual gift. What the scripture is very clear, if you need a verse, 1 Peter 4 in verse 10 says, each one of us has been given a spiritual gift. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Every believer has been supernaturally gifted for the purpose of aiding the body of Christ. You know, if you, there's probably any honest person would not say sometimes this thought has gone through their mind. It's a lie. But you wake up one Sunday morning and you say, you know what, it wouldn't matter really to anybody if I came to church or not. You know, it doesn't matter. Well, I like this verse here to really, if you ever entertained that thought, and I can say I've entertained that thought because the devil loves to beat people down, but Ephesians 4 in verse 16. Hear the way God describes His church. He says, the whole body, that's talking about every believer, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love. Every believer is essential. We're not all the same. We're gifted differently. But everyone has a spiritual gift, and everyone has some function that's necessary to build up the body of Christ. Now, we look here in Romans 12, 3 to 8, and it's verses 6 through 8 that will list seven particular spiritual gifts. You know, if you ask the question, how do you discover your spiritual gift, I think if you look at what has been said in that chapter before he begins to talk about the spiritual gifts, I think you see three very practical things in regard to discovering your gift. The first you see in verses 1 and 2, which we spent several messages on, and that's this. He says, if you want to discover your spiritual gift, more foundational is what? Present your body to God. Lord, everything I have is yours, and continually renew your mind with His truth. So that's the first thing to do. You know, God takes care of what's presented to Him. He won't waste anything that's presented to Him. So you say, God, I commit to you all that I am and whatever gift you've given me, natural talents as well as spiritual gift, Lord, I'm yours. Secondly, he says, have a correct evaluation of yourself. To the grace given to me, I say, everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Have a correct evaluation of yourself. And thirdly, he describes the body there in verse 4 and 5. Be involved in the body of Christ. Be involved in the body of Christ. Now, if you want to say, okay, if those are three pathways to understand or experience, to discover your spiritual gift, what are three hindrances? Just look at the opposite of that. Three hindrances of discovering your spiritual gift is if I am resisting the Lord in any way. I don't have a clear conscience as I look at Romans 12 and 2, presenting your body a living holy sacrifice. And I'm what? I'm resisting His truth as opposed to renewing my mind. Secondly, trying to be somebody I'm not. You can sometimes have people, like we all do, that you greatly admire, you greatly appreciate, and we can spend a lot of our life trying to be somebody we're not. That's what he means when he says, don't think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It would be like me getting up here on a Sunday morning and say, boy, you know, it's just been a long time and I've been speaking all this time and I've really never sung a solo to you. I'm just so sorry. It's just what? And I did that. That would be thinking more highly of myself than I ought to think because I have no ability in regard to that. So for somebody else to do that, that would not be true. That is the way God's given. For my wife to do it, that would be just fine. Not that she would want to do it, but she would be gifted in regard to doing that. So don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Now, don't think more highly, but also, he says, if you think of yourself less than somebody whom God has supernaturally gifted, that also would be thinking too little of yourself. Because God has given each, he says this in verse 3, Think so as to have sound judgment, a correct evaluation of self. God has given allotted to each a measure of faith. And that measure is what our faith operates through, the spiritual gifts that he'll talk about there in verses 6 to 8. And of course, the third hindrance, 1 and 2, resisting God in some way, resisting his truth, secondly, trying to be somebody I'm not, or thirdly, really separating oneself from the body of Christ, a lack of involvement. Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. We're not meant to separate ourselves. We're meant to somehow be involved. And there's where we discover our spiritual gift. Well, secondly, you know, possible ways to divide the gifts. Quite frankly, the subject of spiritual gifts does somewhat keep us humble. What you basically have is three chapters of Scripture that talk about spiritual gift. You have this one in Romans 12. You have a couple of passages in 1 Corinthians 12, and then you have a passage in Ephesians 4. Now, there was a time in my studies that I did a lot of study on spiritual gift, read a lot of books on it, and there are different ways to look at that and all the ways and some things about all you know about the gift is a word listed in one of those lists. But you do have what some have seen from this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. They see as a threefold division of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. A variety of ministries, but the same Lord. And a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all. Now, according to that threefold division, that's one possible way to look at the gifts. They look at Romans 12, 6 to 8 as the motivational gifts. The motivational gifts. The word gift there in 1 Corinthians 12, 4, charisma, speaks of grace, motivation. And they would see Romans, the list in Romans 12, 6 to 8 as being seven motivational gifts. And they would say every one of us has one of those motivational gifts. And then the variety of ministries. They look at the passage in Ephesians 4, 7 through 11, as well as 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, and we're not going to speak on those passages, but they look at that as what ministry gifts. In other words, you'll notice, okay, one of the motivational gifts, and we'll look at the seven this morning, would be teaching. Teaching is also looked upon as a ministry gift. So a person can have a ministry of teaching and not... they would could be go about that ministry from two different motivations. And it wouldn't come out the same, nor should it come out the same. So variety of gifts, variety of ministries, and then a variety of manifestations. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 is what they put under manifestations. Now, to me, that part is not quite as clear to me. The concept is, but when I try to put that list in regard to those, but here's the idea. As you ministry from your motivation through a variety of ministries, there are things that happen. God works and he allows a person to believe God for certain faith as a manifestation. Or God sends wisdom into somebody's life and they're able to see a situation in their life from his point of view. So that is the threefold. What I'm going to look at here is those seven motivational gifts. And I will say, out of all the things I read, I found this gave people the greatest freedom in understanding themselves, and many of you are very familiar with this. Pastor Fraley has done much, much study in regard to this and is a great resource, and so you could talk to. Let's look at these seven gifts and just looking at each one in regard to understanding our motivation. I'll always take you back to those three things that are said before. I would say those are more central. Presenting your bodies to God. It's a living holy sacrifice. Continually renewing your mind. Don't try to be somebody you're not. And be involved in the body of Christ. I think that will be the pathway to discover your gift. But these seven motivations. First, there is the gift of, and I'll say them in order there in verses 68, the gift of prophecy. Now, we know prophecy, there was a foretelling of truth where they gave forth new revelation. Now with the completed canon, as you've heard to say, there's not foretelling, but there's forthtelling. There's still the proclaiming of truth. So in that sense, that gift does remain, not in the sense of giving new revelation, but in proclaiming revelation. Now, here, these would be some of the characteristics that those people have see that relate to that gift. Not that every prophet would be the same, not that there's variety within every gift, but the prophet has what? Has just motivated to express themselves. They're motivated, and everybody's motivated to express themselves, but up the ante with a prophet. They're motivated also to expose unrighteous motives. And they have quite discernment in regard to that. Now, with every gift, there's always a caution. If we don't walk by the Spirit and walk in the flesh, there can be a danger. In other words, they have great discernment in regard to detecting unrighteous motives, but also sometimes they can size somebody up pretty quick, but sometimes they may jump to conclusions that may not be correct. They can expose, but not necessarily have the same burden to restore that person. So those are gifts. But every gift has its weaknesses. Sometimes they can be alert to just something that's not quite right. I think of a particular man that he's a prophet. You know, you've heard the phrase that, you know, the variety. There's the weeping prophet, sort of the tender. There's a thundering prophet. He's a thundering prophet. If you don't know him well, you misunderstand the man. But someone came up to him, and after he had spoken, and now this is not the only gift that's needed. Remember, you'll see. But after he had spoken, he said, "You know, God has spoken to me, and I just really don't know what to do." He says, "You're a liar. You know what to do, and you're not willing to do it. Is that right?" Now that was exactly true, and now that's not everything that's needed in the body of Christ. You see, somebody's got to lick the wounds, but that was true, and sometimes there are individuals that individual can speak to, and sometimes they we can't afford to shut their voice out. Many times they're very open to their own faults, and they have to cautious sometimes of unduly condemning themselves. Sometimes they so see something that's wrong and they desire justice, and they can sometimes harbor lack of forgiveness. They're wholehearted in their involvement, but sometimes they may act too quickly. They can be such loyal to truth, and maybe sometimes, I'm talking caution, maybe be as not as sensitive to people. Willing to suffer for doing right, and sometimes unduly cut off people who fail. They can be very persuasive in proclaiming truth. May sometimes lack tactfulness in rebuking or dwelling on the negative. But the prophet is a wonderful, wonderful gift, and God may be, in a sense, that has motivated you that way. There's the second gift he gives is the gift of serving. I believe that's the one that's listed next. The gift of serving. The gift of serving. This person, they're motivated to meet practical needs. Sometimes they'll see a need in your life before you see a need in your life. A task needs to be done, they just do it. No one has to tell them. They take initiative in regard to that. Now, sometimes the caution is sometimes they give unrequested help because they just see it so obvious that you need it. They'll do it, you know, and jump. They like to free others up to achieve their goals because they're servers. Sometimes, though, in that, they can weary themselves beyond their physical limitations, because they just see a need and they do it. Sometimes they they'll disregard their own weariness because they just see a need and they do it, but they may sometimes neglect their own God-given responsibilities because they see the thing before them that's pressing on them. Sometimes they have difficult saying no to things, and that may not be as important as other things. They're very alert to the likes and dislikes of other people. And they can react when they see other people sort of overlooking needs, because things are clearer to them than they are to other people. They're not after a lot of fanfare, but they do need approval, and sometimes they can resent a lack of appreciation for all that they're doing. They meet needs many times very quickly, and sometimes a caution is sometimes they may interfere with what God's discipline may be upon one. And he may not be wanting that need to be met because what he's withholding something. So, but there's the wonderful, my mother was a servant, struggled delegating. And it's one reason I'm, in some ways, you know, your job was to, and I'm not saying this is the best thing to do, and not every server does it, but, you know, you was to get out of the way in the kitchen, you know. Like, no one could do it as well as she did, but you're not, you don't. But anyhow, she was an incredible server and incredible diligence, and I learned so much from her. The third gift that you see here is the gift of teaching. This person is motivated to clarify and explain truth. You ask them a question, sometimes it's a dangerous thing. I know my father-in-law is with the Lord now. Penny's father was certainly a gift of teaching, and she is a daughter, but sometimes she'd have to say, "Dad, I want a short answer," you know, because they think you're as interested in all this many details as they are, and they think they'd be shortchanging you if they didn't give you all the details. And they like to not only give the information, but they like to validate it. And they like to present truth very systematically. Sometimes they may. Can sometimes be a caution, okay, when they see something that's, okay, that's practical, but is it systematic enough or whatever? They gather many facts. They like to clarify misunderstandings sometimes, maybe a caution, argue over minor points. But there's the gift of teaching. Most of the, I don't call that my motivational gift, although in the seminary training, I think most of the professors I had were that, you know, and I learned much, much from that. Exhorting. This person is, he or she, in regard to any gift, they're motivated to stimulate the faith of others and bring them to spiritual maturity. They're committed to a person's other spiritual growth. They sometimes can see a root problem in a person's life. And they like to sometimes give steps of action to help them along the road. They will tell you as many times, okay, it's great why this problem is okay because this is the way you're going to benefit. They can turn these problems into benefits, and they see that. Now, they have to work. Sometimes they just get all wrapped up in that and treat the person as a project as opposed to a person as a person. They like transparency, and they sometimes they can share private illustrations that maybe shouldn't be shared because they're sharing private illustrations that they know and they think is going to help other people, but they need to ask permission to share those private illustrations. They can perhaps be worried about presenting truth out of ballots because they get insights from their experience. But there's a very needed gift. They like to share in the pandemic thing, it's hard for them because they like face-to-face communication. That they read, in a sense, the other person's expression or whatever. Sometimes they can be very vulnerable to that, you know. And they can sometimes give up on uncooperative people. But the gift of exhorting. There's the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Obviously, you see, as we look at these seven spiritual gifts, motivational gift, you also obviously are to do all the gifts through your motivation. You don't say, "I don't have the gift of giving, and so I don't give." You know, you do them, but the motivation of that will differ. An exhorter wants to give because he sees what, oh boy, that's going to aid to what that's going to aid the spiritual growth of these people as I give. That will encourage this person when they receive this gift, or the teacher, boy, that'll help people see truth clearly, or the prophet would say, boy, that will expose some things that need to be exposed. So practical needs can be met if I give this. So they all give, but there is one that person who has the gift of giving. I think of this particular man. I'll mention these characteristics that I knew when I was in seminary, and this man really is around him enough. He just loved to give. I mean, I would sometimes see him pass out bills to people. You know, just shake their hand and have them put a bill in their hand. I mean, just as an encouragement, he was a giver. He had gotten a new car, and he was driving. Someone told me this. He was driving with his wife. He says, "Boy, it's been a while since we've had an Abraham experience. I think God wants us to give away our new car." I don't know what gift she needs or whatever, but he was a wonderful man. I remember that dear man, Bob Stahlstrom. But these people are motivated to. Sometimes they have ability to gain resources. They're smart with money, and they have ability because what they want is to use their resources and assets for the furtherance of the ministry in regard to giving, even encouraging other people to give. Sometimes they're not motivated by pressure appeals. Sometimes they prefer to give secretly. They're concerned that too much resources can corrupt. So sometimes maybe they give too sparingly to their family. But they like to also use gifts to multiply gifts. Sometimes that's the person behind, okay, that we got this matching gift or whatever. They'd like to do it sort of anonymously, but okay, encourage other people to give. Well, the gift of giving. There's the gift of organization or ruling. You know, it's interesting. You remember one time going and visiting some students, and the phone rang, and immediately you knew who had the gift of organization. The person started commanding. Okay, you do this, you do this. I think in my own, you answer the phone. They are motivated to coordinate the activities of others to achieve common goals. I think of my dear beloved aunt who went to be with the Lord. My mother was one of three sisters, and then she had other, after her mother died and her father remarried, they had other half brothers and sisters, one other half sister, and then five other half brothers. But but of the three sisters, it was unquestionably my Aunt Jenny was the organizer. In a crisis, you know, boy, she started telling everybody what to do, and it was so helpful. Everybody else was sort of standing around. Now, my mother was the server. She would do the work, but Aunt Jenny knew how to organize everybody. And now, in the flesh, any gift doesn't come out right. In the flesh, she could come out bossy, but she was certainly unquestionably gifted, very organized. Those people can make decisions very quickly. They just, if you're, you know, moving into a home and you're, you know, make decisions in regard to how you pack up, they're good. What takes most of us a lot of time to figure out, it's just like falling off a log. So the gift of organization, they're able to visualize results. This is what needs to be done, and they're able to what? Get people. Now, they have to be cautious that people, they don't make people feel like, okay, you're just a resource, you're just a cog in the wheel. Sometimes they make a job look easy because they just can see the big picture. They're very alert to details. And they can complete tasks quickly. Now, sometimes they may fail to explain because things are so clear to them what needs to be done. Fail to explain, or even sometimes fail to praise and thank him for what the person is doing. But they're able to be decisive. Able to delegate, very good. Now, sometimes, the caution that sometimes they get out of all the work. But the gift of organization, you find most people, they say it's far easier to get somebody to volunteer to do something than get a person to volunteer to be in charge of something. So there's the gift of mercy. There's the gift of mercy. That's the seventh gift you see here. That person is motivated to identify with and comfort those in distress. They're deeply loyal to people. And sometimes they can struggle taking up offenses. Not that we all can't struggle with that. They have a need for deep friendships and can have to be yielded to the Lord, not to be possessive. can greatly empathize with hurting people. Now, sometimes it can be looked like they're tolerating evil. They sometimes can struggle in being firm, deeply sensitive to loved ones. Sometimes can get maybe lean more on emotion than reason. All of these things are not necessarily universal, but they're cautions. They're attracted to people in distress. They just go to a crowd. They sort of can sniff out somebody that's hurting, and they go there. Can sometimes be cut off an insensitive person because that's so offensive to them and so opposite of their particular gift. Well, according to this scheme, each of us has one of those seven gifts. Now, we're to do them all, but you have, you know, you're motivated. You have a God-given motivation that He's given you. And you do all these through your motivation. Try to concentrate on your motivation as you do these things. An illustration that many of you are aware of, I've shared it many times. I think it's a good illustration of this, of a particular event happening, and then you see seven different reactions. None of them are right or wrong necessarily. They're all right from the perspective of that person's gift. You're at the dinner table. Many of you have heard this illustration. You're at the dinner table and someone spills the dessert. This person says, "Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please pick it up. And Mary, help me fix some other dessert." That's the organizer. That's the organizer. That's logical to get people in motion. I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. That's the giver. He wants to trust his assets to what? Solve the problem. The reason that fell, it was too heavy on one side. That's the teacher that wanted to explain to you what happened. Now you see how that can rub somebody like, "Oh, let me help you clean it up." That's the server. And that would rub the wrong way of the guy who's trying to explain to you what happened. "Yeah, we know, let's clean it up." But they're both using their gifts. That's what happens when you're not careful. Now that's the prophet. He wants to, next time let's serve the dessert with the meal. Now that's the exhorter that wants you to learn from it. Let's learn from it. There's a benefit from this. This happened, but let's learn from it. Don't feel badly. It could have happened to anyone. That's the mercy. Somebody's got to lick the wounds, and they all have their place. They all have their place, and we need all those gifts. Once again, I'm going to take you back in conclusion. What is the pathway to your gift? It is to present your body to God. Say, "Lord, I am yours. I'm yours. Everything about me is yours. Every gift I have is yours. Develop me in every way you want to develop me. No gift that's in this room has been, or in this meeting has been fully developed. Maybe some gifts haven't even been fully discovered. But you present your bodies to God and you continually renew your mind with truth. You know, like that lie, "Boy, it doesn't matter. I don't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm here or not." That's a lie. Scripture says the body is what? The proper working of each individual part, Ephesians 4:16 we read. The body is built up by what every joint supplies. It may be just a casual comment that you say to somebody is the most important thing that happens to that person. It may be in the sharing time, just somebody, a prayer request. That's the most important thing that happens. And we thank God that there's an opportunity for that. Secondly, don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't, in that sense, think more highly of yourself trying to be somebody you're not. I've found great joy in admiring people who have gifts I do not have. Okay, my job is to recognize that and to encourage that and to thank God for that. And many times God puts needs in our life that other people are the answer to. There's many, many empty places in my life that God uses other people and I desperately need them. It's not just I need them. So don't try to be somebody you're not. But also, don't underestimate yourself. Don't Do not see yourself less than somebody whom God has supernaturally gifted with a spiritual gift. That passage we started out with, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And then, thirdly, be involved in the body of Christ. Be involved in the body of Christ. Just say, okay, God has, is what he says here in verses 4 and 5. God has a unique set of good works for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10. We're saved by grace, but we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every day, there's what? There's some useful and beneficial thing that God has me. As long as he has me down here, he has something for me. He has something for me. Most of the good works that God does, most of the way God builds up his church, will not necessarily be publicized. But God doesn't forget anything. God notices everything. You give a cup of cold water in his name, he says you'll never lose your reward. So be involved in the body of Christ. Well, next Sunday, different location. This is such a delightful location. Thank you so much for the generosity. This incredible, lovely setting. Even a cool setting with all the shade here, even the hottest of days. So what a gift of God. But we thank you for the hard work of the leadership that secured another place for us to live that may be helpful on a cold day. And so we look forward to being with you there. We'll look at there at Romans 12:9-15. And as I said, Pastor Fraley has done a lot of work on spiritual gifts. I was talking to him about that before the service. And we're going to look at chapter 12:9-15 next week. And I don't know, Penny attributed this insight to you, Pastor Fraley, and that's this. If you look at verses 9 to 15, that's what we'll look at. You have seven commands there. And obviously all seven of those commands, which we'll look at all of them next week, apply to every believer. But if you look, it's an uncanny connection. I don't know if that was you the one that pointed it out in verses 9 to 15. If you look at those seven commands, there is an incredible special application, apparently, it looks like, with the seven spiritual gifts in the order of those spiritual gifts. So you might want to look at that just in preparing, in a sense, for that message on Romans 12:9-15. So let's bow for prayer, and then we look forward to letting the body minister to each other. Father, thank you for an opportunity to gather. Thank you for this lovely, lovely setting. And we pray your blessing, Lord Jesus, upon this household, this property, and Lord, for every concern represented here. God, I pray that you would help each one even uproot those lies in all of our mind. And God, I pray that we would all humbly see ourselves as someone you've supernaturally gifted. And God, would you help us be on the road of discovering and using our gift. God, we pray that for our life. We pray that for our loved ones. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.